In the Loop with Looper.
Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian, bringing you theology at warp speed. I'm Ed Anderson.
And I am Ben DiBono. We are back.
That was so distracted. It's like, what?
I know there's so much going on at once. Yes. Matt, a new day has dawned on the Sci-Fi Christian.
It has.
It has. Because for the first time in Sci-Fi Christian history, we both have the capability of playing... Oh my god, yeah, that was your fault.
I know.
But we both have the capability of playing sound clips.
Yeah, I know. I was just actually preparing mine, which made that sound, and now you have in your hands your
iPad. I have a board.
Your iPad?
Yep, that has a soundboard on it. Full of stuff, and you don't know anything that I've prepared.
Well, I know It's a Trap is on there.
Of course.
I did hear a few as you were practicing. So, like, look at this. We could kind of have, like, an It's a Trap off.
It's a trap! It's a trap!
That was fun.
Yeah, that was fun.
But, you know, here's the thing. Is that you might be thinking here, oh, Ben's so harmless. He's got his sound clip and everything.
Yeah.
You know, nothing could go wrong. Well, on the contrary.
You think you're safe. You are not.
Oh my gosh. This is going to get crazy.
Yeah, so that was Benedict Cumberbatch from the Star Trek trailer.
Wow. Good work.
Yeah, so it's exciting.
You think you're safe. You are not.
Do you watch the show Sherlock?
I just started it. It is amazing.
I know. It's so good.
Oh my gosh.
I just finished season two.
Oh.
I think that's all that's been out.
Yeah, and they're only three episodes long each. So yeah, I've watched the first two of season one.
But they're all movie-sized.
Like, yeah.
It's an hour and a half, basically.
So you know that he's playing Smaug in the next Hobbit movie.
Yeah, you know, I thought when I saw his name in the cast, I thought he was playing the Necromancer.
He is.
Oh, he's both.
Yeah.
Okay, because I was like, why would he get credit in the movie for being the shadowy silhouette outline?
Yeah, he did just the stop mo or the whatever Andy Serkis does,
okay,
where he's in the skin tight condom suit.
Okay.
And he dances around with the balls all over him and gets recorded into the computer.
Yes.
He did that for the Necromancer.
Okay. Yeah. So I saw, wow, he's playing both.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So Bilbo and Smaug playing Sherlock and Watson. It is an amazing show.
Wow. I didn't even put that together. Well, I had put it together, but hadn't thought about it. So nice. Yeah, I love that show.
Those two are going to be like the biggest names in geekdom by the end of this year. You know, because
of Star Wars.
What else
is Star Trek? Martin Freeman going to be in?
I don't know, but between Hobbit and I think more people catching on to, you know, Sherlock.
And you know him from Office,
yeah,
ABC.
Yeah, of course, Office. Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, did you see they're floating around the internet? There's somebody who did like a... They took scenes from The Hobbit, but did it with voices from The Office.
No.
So, like, you know, Martin Freeman is Bilbo is Tim, and then Gollum is Gareth, and...
No, I haven't watched
Gandalf is David Brent. It's fantastic.
I was just thinking, he was in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Did you see that movie?
I didn't.
I didn't either. But that's also...
Do you have his IMDb up in front of you?
No, I don't. Oh, I just remembered.
It seemed like you were
with my mind
rattling off facts.
It seemed a little Wikipedia-ish.
Yeah, a little Wikipedia-ish.
No, not yet. Wait till we get to the main topic.
but speaking of British shows, last time I think we recorded, I mentioned that I was going to give Doctor Who a try.
Yes.
I've now watched 7 episodes of Doctor Who.
What season did you start?
The first season.
On Netflix, the first season?
Yeah.
So not all the way back, because they just released the really old ones.
Yeah, I'm not going to watch those.
Do you like it?
It's okay.
I am not going to watch those old ones. I'm going to skip to season 5 and just watch with a new Dr. Matt Smith.
Why? It's like the same series, though. It's a new... I think there's like... My understanding is there's ongoing characters and stuff throughout all of them.
Yeah, I just don't want to commit to that many episodes.
Oh, yeah. I can understand that.
You know, it's like... I have a lot of books I need to catch up on.
Indeed you do.
So
I like it well enough. I mean, there's kind of a James Bondy thing to it where you got the, you know, Bond girl and you got the Doctor Who companion. And
isn't that the same thing? Oh, you're saying
comparing them.
You brought back John Carter.
I did.
So
we're just zipping all over the place.
You borrowed my Blu-ray that I got from Daniel Butcher, who loves the movie.
Yeah.
I like the movie too.
Yeah.
Give me your thoughts.
I got halfway through it.
And then what?
I turned it off.
Why?
It wasn't a bad movie, but it wasn't my kind of movie.
Like, what do you mean?
It was just kind of corny and stupid. I think that if I was a 12-year-old boy, I would think it was the greatest movie of all time.
I thought it was cool.
Okay.
Dun, dun, dun.
Now, what frightens you want to know the reason I got to halfway and didn't turn it off sooner is because I remember Kobe saying that he hated it, and I really didn't want to agree with him. So I was like, oh, I got to stick this out. But yeah, no, I didn't hate it. I wouldn't say it was a bad movie, but it just was not my type of movie.
Interesting. We're recording this on January 7th, 2013.
Yeah.
However, it's not going to be released for a bit because I have some back episodes.
I know. You've been releasing all over the place.
So, but tonight at 6:30 Pacific Standard Time, we're going to find out if we won the podcast awards. So this is the last episode we're going to record before we find out if we're the winners. What do you think? What are our chances?
I think we definitely are going to win, of course.
Thank you, Ben.
Yeah. Especially my votes. Well, what if we win?
By five.
What if we lose by one vote and I could have voted one more time?
Yeah, that we won't find that out.
I know.
We have a feud happening with Strangers and Aliens, as you may know. And
do we?
So,
I thought you guys solved that.
Well, this is how we solved it. We have decided that whichever one of us gets more votes in the podcast awards, the other one has to hold up like a sign that says, I love...
But you just said we don't find out the vote counts.
I'm going to... If we don't win, if one of us doesn't win...
In the unlikely event.
In the unlikely event that the Mormons lose. then I'll just like reach out to the podcast awards guy and see if he'll tell me which one of us did better.
Yeah.
So there's something happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I think they're going to record a promo for us that says... Hey, we love the Sci-Fi Christian.
So are we all friends now?
Yeah, we're pretty good friends now.
Yeah.
We had him on the show.
I know, I saw that.
Yeah.
I didn't listen to it.
No, of course. I understand.
You know, I'm a busy man.
Ben Avery actually wrote, through Strangers and Aliens, he said, a well-written piece about why Christopher Tolkien isn't interested in movie adaptations of his father's expanded works. And then he wrote, first he posted this through Strangers and Aliens and then tagged you in it and says, oh, and this seems like a more reasoned response than Ben DeBono gave on the Sci-Fi Christian.
That's probably true. I don't entirely recall what I said, but from what you told me back the next time we recorded, I think I said he should die.
Yes, that's true. You did.
So that wasn't very reasonable.
No. I'm trying to just scan it. I haven't read this article yet because he just posted it before you came over here. Here, talk about something, and I'll see if I can just get the gist.
Okay.
If Ben DeBono jumped off a cliff, would Matt Anderson follow? I would say yes.
I would say yes.
Are you just playing with your soundboard while I look
at it? Yeah, well, that was an important thing to know. Do you like how my soundboard, this is not meaningful to the people at home.
Color-coded?
It's color-coded.
By what?
Well, the red ones are inappropriate clips.
Oh, so don't play those.
If I touch those, you have to spend hours editing.
Okay, what's yellow?
Yellow are transition clips.
What's blue?
Blue are ones dark blue specific to this show.
Okay.
Light blue are ones kind of making fun of you a little bit.
Oh.
And green are just, you know, like it's a trap or the Benedict Cumberbatch one, mm-hmm. and, you know, all that good stuff.
All right. Okay, here we go. I'm just gonna. I don't think this is a good time to talk about this.
Maybe we should stow this one and we can come back to it later. Yeah. Since neither of us have read it yet.
Yeah, because reading on the air, not usually.
Yeah, good.
Like especially reading quietly to yourself on the air. That's
kind of like quiet time in school, except not as exciting.
So you said
we could just have like everybody does their own thing for 5 minutes. So listeners, you guys go get a book. And
it's a good time.
We'll just have 5 minutes of a break.
You said that we're in the loop on Looper.
Yeah.
You Facebook messaged me and said, I love this movie. And then I had just happened to have rented it.
Yeah.
And so I think we saw it within 24 hours of each other.
That's amazing.
So here we go. Looper movie review.
I'm so glad that we have transition. You haven't been doing transition music until recently again.
Yeah, I brought it back.
I was feeling a little sad as I was putting together my soundboard. Just thinking, oh, we don't do transition
music. Yeah, I know. Well, because we don't really do news anymore.
Why not?
Here's the thing. The recording schedule is weird. Even though I put out episodes pretty frequently, we will record like four in a day.
Yeah.
And so...
We should get back to doing once a week.
You know, like through Skype? I figured out how to do Skype, finally.
Oh, no, I'll come over here.
Okay. You want to come over here once a week?
Yeah.
You serious?
Let's talk about it off air, but yeah, we can figure something out.
Wow.
Can I tell you a secret? Well, it's not really a secret since I'm telling you on the air, but so I start school again next week.
Oh.
And I'm going to be at school 2 days a week in the afternoons. Last semester, I was at school 1 day a week. Mm-hmm. And so I would leave at about 6:45 in the morning and get home 10:15 at night. So very late.
Okay.
So there was 1 day I wasn't home at all. Well, my wife actually kind of likes that.
She likes you not being home?
Well, there's a reason. Because I'm a little bit of a picky eater. I don't know if you knew that about me.
No. I mean, I'm picky also, though, so it probably doesn't bother me.
No. You know, I have things I like and I have things I don't. And my wife has things she likes that I don't. And she doesn't make them because she makes stuff that our whole family enjoys.
Oh.
And so she was a little bit annoyed when she found out this semester that I was going to be home every night.
That is not true.
No, it's true.
She was annoyed?
Yes. And so she has requested that I not be home one night per week so that she can make something I wouldn't like.
Wow.
So
what night is it going to be?
I don't know.
Should we pick a day?
No. Let's talk off air because we got to plan a little bit.
Because if we have a day of the week, I can just always tell people, sorry,
yeah,
I'm busy.
Yeah. I like
it. Sci-fi Christian day.
I like it. Maybe it will be Mondays.
Yeah, Mondays are fine with me.
Yeah.
Today is Monday.
Yeah, it's a Monday. Because I like back, you know, even if we do the news as a separate episode, I think we need to get back to doing news.
We've had not an abundance of people, but we have had some people that have said they used to get our news from us and they miss it now.
Yeah, but like even if you don't like the news, we wouldn't be silly and stuff with the news, and it's entertaining.
Here's the thing that was going wrong and why I kind of stopped doing news, because I would make it its own episode, but then we would record like once a month or once every month and a half.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
And so I'd go back and read the last month and a half of news and then come up with this. Yeah, it wasn't fun.
So, yeah, that's not fun at all.
Okay.
But let's have a production meeting briefly after we're done, if we have time.
This is breaking news.
Yeah. You can still have
that has like how about R2-D2?
You think you're safe. You are not.
Don't you have R2-D2 on there?
Not right now. I don't.
I might. I'll look around.
Yeah. But we could have the, you know, and then you could still have the B squad on sometimes.
Don't say that. That's not nice.
Is it time? I love you guys.
I won't allow that.
Is it time to unleash the famous Daniel Butcher clip onto the world?
I think that you're the B squad because your name starts with Ben. That doesn't make sense. Your name is Ben.
So would that make Kobe the K squad? That makes you the M squad.
Yeah, I'm the worst.
Yeah.
All right, let's hear the Daniel clip.
Oh, okay. So this is, we've talked about this before, people. This is actual footage.
No, don't play that. Do not play that. It won't make any sense.
That's okay. Let them figure it out themselves.
No, we have to at least set it. No, this is, don't play this.
Okay. You're the captain.
Yeah.
I'm deferring to you.
There was one thing on a former podcast, Daniel.
He was interviewing.
He was interviewing one of our children's pastors.
Yeah.
And
asking him about some of the context he'd done youth ministry in. Or children's ministry.
And
this guy had designed his own curriculum, and Daniel was kind of asking him, you know, well, how'd you get started?
Yeah, let's not play this clip.
I think we have to now. We've teased it.
No.
It's on the red line.
Yes, for a reason. Because, okay, you know how sometimes you hear people say things, and it sounds funnier and maybe more inappropriate than it's meant to be?
Yeah.
That's what happened here on this day. So Ben and I...
The video is the best.
Ben and I... Stop. Ben and I are interviewing... we're kind of on this podcast where Daniel is interviewing...
Those two kind of hijacked it for the day.
Yeah, this children's pastor. And so he was talking about where he... What was the context? He was... Where he was doing ministry?
How he had developed this curriculum.
Yeah, because he developed it by doing it with his own children.
Yes.
And so he had...
Don't give away the joke.
Doing the youth ministry with his own children.
We just need to play this.
Fine.
So, you did it at home.
Yes.
You did it with your own two children and your wife.
Yes.
So, you did it literally in your living rooms.
That's right. For us, that was the best place to be.
No, you laughed during the best part. Play it again.
So, you did it at home.
Yes.
You did it with your own two children and your wife.
Yes.
So, you did it literally in your living rooms.
That's right. But for us, that was the best place to be.
For us, that was the best place to be. So, okay, obviously, that sounds bad. But in the context, it's not bad.
In the context, it was okay.
But as we were listening to it, it just...
You and I were sitting next to each other, and we exchanged a look. And you had to get up and leave the room because you couldn't stop laughing.
I mean, I knew he wasn't being inappropriate, but just the way that that conversation unfolded, yeah.
And what's funny is the video we have of this, because on the video, you see you melting down slowly over a period of 2 minutes as you try and keep it together. And at one point, you reach over and grab a Bible to try and distract yourself. Yeah.
That was the funniest thing that's ever happened on any podcast. Well, I felt horrible because this was actually our church podcast. Yeah. It wasn't like the Sci-Fi Christian.
No.
It was the Life Report. And
so we couldn't make dick jokes on the Life Report.
Come on.
It's not a bad word. Everyone knows that word.
And so, anyways, yeah, it was a funny moment.
It was. Maybe in 2013, we can dig up that video, and as a reward for anyone who contributes to us,
send them the private link.
Yeah.
Oh.
You give us at least
$5.
$5 minimum, you get the private link to the video.
It is worth it. We've watched it.
There's a couple inappropriate videos. So this is,
No, don't tell them everything.
Okay. We'll have another one for 2014.
Okay. $5, you can watch this video.
Yeah. You give us a contribution on our site, you get the link to the private video.
We actually do need some money. Because this is weird to talk about, but I just got billed for like the next year.
Oh, yeah. Those are expensive.
And it's always expensive at this time of year.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyways, donation. You can donate right on the website or email me and I'll send you the information.
Yeah.
Feedback@thescifichristian.com or Matt@thescifichristian.com or
Ben@thescifichristian.com.
Ben, why are we talking about Looper?
Because it's an awesome movie. It just came out on DVD. Mm-hmm. I don't think either of us had seen it in theaters.
We hadn't.
So I was really excited to see it. And I loved it. Double transition.
Looper movie review. Ben?
Yeah, see, that's why I changed the title. I didn't like Looper movie review.
Sorry.
I don't think In the Loop with Looper was much better.
Well, I'm afraid people are going to think it's a time loop episode and then not watch it.
We could just say on there, not a time loop.
Not a time loop, please.
This is new stuff, people.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine if they're missing this? There were some huge things in this episode.
Yeah, this is a big episode.
Wow. I might just call it time loop. Or sorry, I might call it Looper so they listen to it.
That's a good idea.
If they see loop anything...
Nobody's going
to
listen.
No one listens to those episodes. I'm still posting them, so watch out. New one coming out.
They don't get episode numbers. Isn't that what we voted on?
No, I did not make that vote.
It was 3-1.
I post all the episodes out, and I do the editing. Next one I think I'll release is one of our original classics. What was it called? I Want to Believe.
Oh, yeah.
How aliens may or may not be biblically compatible.
Was that number three?
Number two.
Yeah. Two.
Okay.
Back in the day.
So you said you have extensive notes. I myself have my notes loaded.
Yeah, I was doing all sorts of...
Bono jumped off
that was an accident.
Matt Anderson fell.
Whatever.
I would say yes.
I would say yes, too. I actually did a little bit of show prep. But maybe first we should talk about our opinion of the movie before we get into some of the...
Oh, so let's
themes.
Give a rating? Straight up rating?
Yeah.
Four even.
Five.
I was thinking about giving it a 4.5, but I'll just go 4 even.
No, I would put this right up there with Dark Knight Rises for my movie of the year.
Wow.
I loved it.
That much?
It was so good.
What was the thing that put you over the edge?
Oh, I like kind of understated sci-fi, mm-hmm. where the sci-fi is there, but it's not dominating the whole plot, but they still fleshed out characters. I like that it wasn't, despite how all the advertisement made it look, it's not a dumb action movie.
Mm-hmm.
It very easily could have been, but actually had very thoughtful things to say, mm-hmm. I thought. So really enjoyed the acting. I thought they did a good job of having Bruce Willis in there, but not, using him so much that, I thought they used him well in the movie.
If you are a listener of the Sci-Fi Christian, you know that when people come over, I often put on a sci-fi movie during the recording.
Do people
recording.
Know that?
Yeah, I talk about it every now and then. Okay. So I put Terminator on for a reason, because I feel like in some ways, Looper was like the reverse Terminator.
It was a little bit.
So we can come back to that. Here's some background. This is said at the beginning of the movie, but it's...
Are we going spoilers? No spoilers.
Total spoilers. Complete spoilers.
So watch Looper and come back.
Yeah. So, said in the intro is what I'm about to read, but I think it's worth repeating. But like you said, this is all understated. So even though this is the world that it's set in, it's not really important to the plot, but it's interesting. By 2044, the United States has suffered economic collapse, causing severe social decay and growth in organized crime. In addition, a strange mutation has occurred in 10% of the population, giving them the limited telekinetic powers. In 2074, so 30 years later, time travel is invented, but is immediately outlawed. In addition, tracking technology has rendered it nearly impossible to dispose of bodies secretly. So, when crime bosses want to eliminate a target, they send them back to the past to be killed by loopers, who are hired guns paid in silver to kill whomever is sent to them. When crime bosses want to end the looper's contract, they send the looper's future self back to be killed by his past self, called Closing the Loop. Oh, we could call it Closing the Loop. That would be a good idea. Where they are given gold instead of silver pay.
People would have listened, like, oh, the last time Loop episode ever.
Exactly.
Yay!
So, yeah, when they get gold, then that means that they've just killed themselves, which is kind of a bummer.
Yeah, except you get gold.
Yeah, that's good, but you also know, ooh, I'm going to die pretty soon.
Yeah.
Ish.
Yeah, well, 30 years.
Yeah, at least. Well, yeah.
So I don't think it was ever explicitly stated in the movie, but it would seem to imply that the time travel technology only allows you to go back a maximum of 30 years.
Yeah. I hadn't really thought about that. Like, they show the time machine device.
Yeah.
But they didn't. Like, what I don't understand is, how do they know where it's going to end up? Like, where is the person going to end up? Is the station where the time machine is?
I don't know.
Like, I don't think they move through space. I think they just move through time.
Yeah.
They also don't show how they set the clock. So is it like there is no choice? It's just 30 years, that's it.
That was kind of what I assumed. But I kind of like that they didn't, you know, get into, oh, how does this work? Because that really wasn't what the movie was about.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was kind of nice.
Yeah, it was. I like what you said about understated, because that is really true. Like, even if you think about how they appeared in the past, it was just suddenly. It was,
yeah. What did you think of the prosthetics that they put on Joseph Gordon-Levitt's face? That was a little weird.
At first, I was distracted by it, but then as the movie went on, I forgot about it.
Yeah.
I was frustrated during this movie.
Really?
Because...
yeah, why the 4-star rating?
Okay, there's a couple things. I know that you're not going to be on board with my complaints, but no, as I said...
people love it. We won Best Rivalry last year.
We were in the running.
Didn't we win? We won Best Feud.
No, Kobe and Daniel won for Iron Man versus Batman.
The B Squad!
You were on the show. You don't even listen when you're there.
Well, we got to get that award back, man.
Okay, so time travel. You know I like it, and I like when it's clean, where the storytelling is clean. And this is not clean. There's paradoxes galore. For example, let's look at the closing scene. Closing scene, they're running through this cornfield. They're running towards it. Kid's about to get away. Mom's in the way. Bruce Willis has a gun on her. Joseph Gordon-Levitt is chasing. If Joseph Gordon-Levitt had really shot himself there, which made Bruce Willis disappear because now he was dead all along, he would have even never been in that field in the first place. Everything would have been different. It should have rewound everything back.
Yeah.
So tons of things we saw. Like, I was kind of expecting Emily Blunt's character. I should probably know their character names, but she had like some sort of... what happened? She was like maybe hit in the head or something because of Bruce Willis. I can't remember. But no, she got in a car accident.
Can't remember.
I just watched it like a week ago.
Yeah.
Anyways, she had some damage done to her face, I think, and that wouldn't have even happened if Joe, the character Joe, had killed himself when he was a kid. So I don't like the paradoxes created by it.
Yeah, but isn't that some of the fun of time travel?
No, not for me. Because time travel has to be clean. Like whatever happened, happened. That's how I think it should go. So same thing like...
What does that sound like?
If you think of
Lost action?
If you think about the opening scene, which was cool, where the... not Joe, but his friend.
Yeah.
His older self escapes. And in order to get him back, he just starts cutting off his hands and his fingers and destroying his face. Well, if that was the case, like, this guy would have never been able to run away in the first place. Because he would have had no foot.
Yeah.
So some of that I can't get past the time travel problems.
Yeah, I didn't care about that because that really wasn't what the movie was about.
No, I know that. I know it's not what it was about. But think about this: when they wanted that one, not Joe, but the other guy whose old self escaped, when they wanted him to come back, they put an arrow on his wrist.
Pretty cool.
And then wrote where he should go. So okay, that's fine. But then Joe does the same thing. But how would he even known that that's the method to get people to come find you?
Maybe that's kind of standard operating procedure
because. really the whole point was for us as the audience to think, oh, shoot, yeah. He got caught.
Yeah, I guess I would have been bothered by that stuff if it was more of a hard science fiction movie, but it really wasn't. It wasn't about the technology. It wasn't about the sci-fi. That was more just the backdrop for telling the story of these characters.
Do you know, what's this guy's name? Rian Johnson?
Rian Johnson, yeah. Ryan? He directed an episode of Breaking Bad in season 5.
He did?
Yeah.
Oh, I just finished season 4 last night.
Right, yeah.
I love it. Okay, so here's what he's quoted as saying, just what you just said. Even though it's a time travel movie, the pleasure of it doesn't come from the mass of time travel. It's not a film like Primer, which I haven't seen.
Yeah, Primer's, that'll make your head explode. Okay. It's a good movie.
He said it's not like Primer, for instance, where the big part of the enjoyment is kind of working out all the intricacies of it. For Looper, I very much wanted it to be more character-based movie that is more about how these characters dealt with the situation time travel has brought about. So the biggest challenge was figuring out how to not spend the whole movie explaining the rules and figuring out how to put it out there in a way that made sense on some intuitive level for the audience, then get it past it and deal with the real meat of the story.
Yeah. So you should watch Primer, though. There's like this massive chart online to try and help make sense, because everything in Primer, apparently, I've only seen it once a long time ago, but apparently it does make sense.
Like what I'm saying, whatever happened, happened.
Yeah. And there's like this massive chart that somebody put together online to help you trace all the different loops and everything. But fascinating movie. You should watch it. I should rewatch it. We should do an episode.
While you're talking, I'll look it up on Amazon, see how much it is.
Yeah, it's not that much. That stuff didn't bother me because of the type of movie it was. It was very apparent to me pretty quickly that this wasn't going to be the type of movie where it was trying to help you track a bunch of intricate rules. It was just, here's a look of shock.
It's expensive.
Not good on instant video.
Is it on Amazon right now?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. Yeah, it's like, I must be looking at something weird, but it must be out of print because the DVD is $98.
Holy crap. No, I think you can buy an instant video for like $10.
Oh, I'll just do that.
Yeah, that's a lot cheaper.
Okay, go ahead.
What was I saying? Oh, yeah. I was able to get past all that pretty quick, but I can see that if you're a real time travel
guru like myself,
obsessive, that you might be a little bothered, but I think you got to focus on what is the movie trying to accomplish.
What was the movie, in your opinion, trying to say?
Oh, I think it had a lot to say. I was really fascinated by so many different themes in this movie. It's a little bit of a take on kind of the what if you could go back and assassinate Hitler type thing, question. And I thought it took a really interesting take on that, which is, what if we don't assassinate Hitler? What if we change the way that he's raised?
That character, the Rainmaker, the kid, was
so good.
Well, the actor was great.
Yeah.
The kid was really scary.
He was.
Like, this is how I felt. I wanted Bruce Willis to kill him.
Yeah.
Like, I was against Joseph Gordon-Levitt protecting the family because I wanted Bruce Willis to assassinate this kid.
Yeah.
When he shot the first girl, that was shocking, but I was like, oh my gosh, this had to happen. Like,
yeah.
It's so unheard of in movies usually to kill kids.
Yep.
It's just so, it brought it to a whole new level. It escalated.
It made it so intense.
Yeah.
I love the scene where you see the Rainmaker kind of go nuts for the first time.
Yeah.
And you can tell his mom knows something's going to go on. We haven't quite seen what he can do yet.
Yeah.
But she starts to get worried. She walks into her closet. She has a gun safe. You open it up. You think she's going to get like a gun or something to protect herself. She gets in the safe.
You know,
that was awesome.
It was awesome. The first time I saw that, I was a little confused because I didn't. Okay, so you know things started shaking around them and it was getting kind of darker.
Yeah.
I thought that this is going to sound stupid now. I kind of thought it was in her head. Like, this is how she was viewing it. Like, he was just getting really intense.
Yeah.
I didn't get that he had the TK power.
Yeah.
Did you know he had telekinesis away?
Yeah, I kind of figured it out. They mentioned the telekinesis thing really early in the movie, and then not again. I thought, this is going to come back somewhere. They wouldn't just throw that in.
But I think at that point, they hadn't shown that the girl had that power yet.
No, but I was 90% sure it was going to be the kid who had the power.
Yeah, so when she got into the safe, then later it made sense. But at first, I was like, it's a little extreme reaction.
Yeah.
But wow.
Yeah, so that was cool. But I can see what you're saying. I think it draws you into that morality. Should this kid, somebody with this power, is it better just to put him out? Should he try and be raised, you know, with his mother? I thought it was a strong statement about parenting.
Well, here's the thing. We already know what's going to happen. Because in the first version of this story, Joe doesn't ever go to that farm. We're assuming that this little boy is going to be raised by his mom, the first version of reality. So the fact that both Joes intervened, that's what caused it on this new direction. So we know that this kid's going to end up being bad, even if he is raised by his mom.
Yeah, you don't know that, though, because you can't say for sure what happened the first time around. Maybe there wasn't a Rainmaker the first time around. Somebody still invents time travel.
No, there was, because he's in the future.
Because time travel existed before the Rainmaker shows up in the future. So theoretically, there could be a first time around. Somebody gets sent back. Something happens to the mom. And then things spiral out of control from there. So there's really no way of knowing what happens if his mom is protected.
I think with what we've been given, because you're kind of drawing a little like on a from like nowhere in that. I think
that's not true.
I think what we can,
it's a reasonable theory.
It seems like they've been able to take care of any ex-loopers that have escaped pretty quickly. So yeah. Then the only time travel that we are aware of is handled immediately. And so we know that in the future this Rainmaker exists and he's super powerful. He's able to take out huge groups alone. And we also can assume that he was raised by his mom on the farm safely. Everything was fine. Then all of a sudden, Joe comes into the scene, and she maybe almost dies, which we actually saw a version of the story where she could have died in young Joe's head. And then that makes sense on how he becomes the Rainmaker.
But now the difference is this time she knows that her son's going to become this terrible person.
Yeah.
So wouldn't that change how she would raise him?
Yes. Now that could possibly.
See? So it's still a noble sacrifice.
It is still, it still could change from here. But yeah. It closes, the whole movie closes on that kid's face.
Yeah. Well, I think it leaves it open. And I think that's part of what you're supposed to debate is that does this really make a difference?
So that's why I said earlier it's a reverse Terminator because yeah. We've got in Terminator, a bad guy coming to kill a good guy. Well, now it's a good guy. Bruce Willis is pretty good. I mean, his motives are to save his wife. I think he is.
I don't know.
He was a convict.
Yeah.
But he wanted to save his wife from being killed.
Yeah.
And he knows that this guy is horrible.
Yeah.
And so he's going back to go kill this kid who's going to end up becoming horrible, which is, would you kill Hitler as a kid? I think a lot of people would. Would you, audience? Think about that.
I think this, what's fascinating about this movie taking on that question is it presents a different alternative. Would you kill Hitler or would you try to change the course of his life so he was a different person?
I would kill him. I would not try to, because you don't know what's going to happen. You don't want to leave it up to chance.
That's the thing. Do you take the chance, though, to save his life but change it in such a way that he doesn't become Hitler?
No.
I mean, he'd still be Hitler, but maybe Hitler. Yeah. Maybe we're all like, yeah, you're good, such Hitler. Hitler.
You're such a good Hitler.
Such a Hitler.
Wait, this is interesting. I am right now in the middle, I'm audiobook, so don't get too excited, but I'm fake reading Stephen King's book 11/22/63 about a time traveler who is trying to stop Lee Harvey Oswald from assassinating JFK. And the question is,
I haven't read the book.
No, I'm not going to spoil. Sure. But there is this kind of question of, now that you're saying that, I don't want to spoil you, but because of the conspiracy, especially, like, was he alone responsible? There's a, you know, he's trying to figure out, I have a chance to kill him, but should I do it before I know for sure he's the only one? So
yeah.
So where I'm drawing from that is with this with Hitler, could we change him? Do we know for sure that if we set him on a different course, he would still end up bad? I don't know.
See, and that's the thing. Do we know how much of it? It kind of gets into the nature versus nurture debate from psychology, too. Are we inevitably who we are going to be, or are we shaped by our surroundings, and to what extent can our formation impact who we become?
Mm-hmm.
So, very fascinating questions.
Nice. What else you got there?
Well, I have some interesting things, but before I get into some of the serious material that I've done, I have some amazing material to share.
Amazing?
Amazing material. And that is that it is high time, Matt, that we bring back a feature that only our oldest listeners are going to remember. In fact, I don't think it's ever been on the Sci-Fi Christian.
No, it was only on the Life Report.
Starting today, it's back. Welcome to the Bendy Bono Countdown on the Sci-Fi Christian.
That's
So the Ben DeBono countdown on the Sci-Fi Christian.
You know, I wanted to bring that to the Sci-Fi Christian in 2013, season 3.
Yeah.
And I already got that music, and I'm going to edit my own version of Matt Anderson countdown.
You can be a copycat.
Yeah. And just to be fair, I'll say it here. You did come up with the Ben DeBono countdown on the Life Report.
I did. So I was going to count down for you very quickly my top 5 coolest parts or things in
the Looper. You should have told me. I would have come up with top 5, but I'll try to think of them.
No. I wanted it to be is the Ben DeBono countdown.
Oh. Well, on the Matt Anderson countdown.
You could have your own countdown. I'm going
to let other people be on it as well, just so you know.
Well, you're free to chime in, but, you know, let's just...
No, go ahead.
You're kind of relegated to a co-host role here. You have to count me down. That's tradition.
Number five,
the disappearing body scene.
What's that?
That's when what you're talking about. The guy is getting cut off and you see his body disappearing as he's running around. Yeah, very cool stuff.
That sucked. That was like gruesome. I thought that
was a little mean.
That scene was gruesome. I did not like that.
It was really, really cool special effects.
It was cool. Yeah. Okay, number 4.
Number 4, telekinesis.
Yeah, that was pretty good. But not only until the kid did it, not when just the people were spinning lighters and coins.
That's why I knew something else was going to happen, because it's like, if they just included it to show people can levitate a coin half an inch off their phone, that's stupid.
Yeah, just to be honest, I didn't pick up on it was going to become a bigger aspect. I mean, I knew it must be part of the story, but not that it would be that's how the Rainmaker existed.
Yeah.
Number 3.
The blunderbuss. That was such a cool gun.
You liked the gun?
I loved it.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Yeah. I still don't... I mean, they explained what its goodness is, that you can't miss when you're close, but you can't really hit anything far.
Yeah.
But what is it... Like, what's special about it?
I just thought it was a cool gun.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Number 2.
Number 2, the 30-year montage.
Yes.
That was so cool.
I agree with this one.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Okay, so there were some weird things in this movie, because... First, they showed the version where this is what's going to happen if Bruce Willis gets away. And it kind of ends with Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Well, we see him falling and crashing. We don't know what happens to him.
Yeah.
And then it goes back to that moment. And it's almost like it was all just maybe in his head a little bit.
Right.
Like he was imagining what happens if this is me and I let him go.
Yeah. But it wasn't.
It wasn't a flashback. Yeah. It seemed like maybe, or he was just thinking in his
kind
head.
Kind of a flash. Well, it depends.
Yeah.
For one of them, it would have been a flashback. I know. For the other, it's like double lost.
But then when he actually did kill him, he had the bag over his head, right? That when he, in the version of the story where he kills himself, the bag was over his head and his hands were tied, right?
Right.
Yeah. So it's weird because they showed us what's really going to happen from Joseph Gordon-Levitt's point of view. And then they showed us what happened. It was a confusing movie, but in a good way.
Yeah. It's one I think we need to watch a few more times.
Not confusing, because I understood what was going on. But okay, but then that montage, that was awesome. Great.
Yeah.
As I'm watching and realizing what's happening, I was like, oh my gosh, this is perfect. Because then they're going to bring us all the way to Bruce Willis.
Yep.
And now changing which point of view the story is coming from.
Exactly. Yeah. So that was very cool.
Yeah, I liked it too. Number 1.
And the number 1 item on the Ben DeBono countdown of the top 5 coolest things in Looper, Jeff Daniels. He was so cool in this movie.
He's good.
Oh, his character was awesome.
I think the montage is number 1.
I don't know. Jeff Daniels gets my number 1, and it is the Ben DeBono countdown on the Sci-Fi Christian.
This has been the Ben DeBono
countdown. I was waiting for it.
On the Sci-Fi Christian.
Congratulations.
So that'll be a regular feature here on the podcast.
And look forward to the Matt Anderson countdown. I wish I edited it quickly so that I could have...
Glad I got there first. Yeah,
you did. You beat me to the punch. But I think you earned it because you did make up the whole concept.
Yeah, so... As I was thinking about this movie, as I was watching it, the thing that kept rolling through my mind was a TED Talk that I had watched a number of months back. Are you familiar with TED Talks?
I am. I know they're short. I know that they are invited to bring, or they bring people in and invite them to speak on their subject of expertise.
Right.
I've only watched 3, maybe.
Yeah, so they have these different conferences, and I think people get a maximum of 18 minutes how they have it set up. So they're very short. And they'll talk about, like you said, it can be people who are scientists. You know, they've had Rick Warren on there. They've had different comedians, different filmmakers, authors, pretty much anybody who is an expert in their field and has something interesting to say.
Okay.
So I watched a TED Talk a number of months back, probably about 6 months or so ago, called The Battle Between You and Your Future Self.
Really?
And that was going through my mind the entire time I watched.
What was it about?
Well, I'm going to play you a couple of clips from it.
I love your soundboard.
Yeah, it's so good. So what he's talking about is how, and I think I'll get into this in the clips a little bit, but just to set the stage, how all of us are really two different people. We are ourselves in the present and we are our future selves. And there's a constant battle between the two. And he gets into the example of, for example, weight loss. You know, you want your future self to weigh less, but your present self is constantly sabotaging your future self.
Okay.
And so the challenge is coming up with ways for your future self to even the playing field so that he can have a equal shot at coming out ahead and preventing your present self from sabotaging your future self. This is really
weird. What, I'll watch on Netflix what category was it under, because you know all the TED Talks are on Netflix right now?
Yeah.
A bunch of them anyway.
I don't know. It's Daniel Goldstein is the guy's name.
I'll find it right now and then tell them after you play some clips.
There you go. And you can, if you just Google TED Talk future self, you will get it, because that's how I found it again last night. But that kind of sets the stage. And in this first one, he's kind of talking about fleshing out a little bit of what I just described. So have a listen.
Resisting temptation is hard. As the 19th century English economist Nassau Williams Sr. said, to abstain from the enjoyment which is in our power, or to seek distant rather than immediate results, are some of the most painful exertions of the human will. If you set goals for yourself, and you're like a lot of other people, you probably realize it's not that your goals are physically impossible that's keeping you from achieving them, it's that you lack the self-discipline to stick to them, right? It's physically possible to lose weight. It's physically possible to exercise more. But resisting temptation is hard. The other reason that it's difficult to resist temptation is because it's an unequal battle between the present self and the future self. I mean, let's face it. The present self is present. It's in control. It's in power right now. It has these strong, heroic arms that can lift donuts into your mouth, right? And the future self is not even around. It's off in the future. It's weak. It doesn't even have a lawyer present. There's nobody to stick up for the future self, and so the present self can trounce all over its dreams.
This is really true to the movie.
It is.
Because Bruce Willis can do whatever he wants, but in the end, Joseph Gordon-Levitt was able to stop him before Joseph Gordon-Levitt has all the power.
Yeah. And they're the same person when you think about it, but they have radically different desires. Joseph Gordon-Levitt, young Joe, wants to live life with Emily Blunt's character and protect the son and, you know, preserve the future, whereas old Joe, Bruce Willis, wants to save his wife's life.
Yeah.
But the wife means nothing to young Joe.
And it's interesting because you can even see in the movie Bruce Willis is starting to lose some of his memories of his love,
yeah,
and he's now being inhabited by memories of young Joe. And now he's starting, in a way almost, he would almost be developing feelings for Emily Blunt's character because they are his feelings.
Right. Yeah. So you have this going on in the movie, but it's also true for all of us. And I thought it was particularly apt given the point in the calendar we're at where we just rolled around New Year's. And every year, all these people make New Year's resolutions, which are then sabotaged, not because they're impossible, but because your present self sabotages your future self.
Wow. That is good. I looked it up. If you guys want to watch that, it's on TED Talks. The subtitle is Humanity's Future, and it's actually the 16th episode available on Netflix. So I'll watch that later.
Yeah, it's very fascinating stuff. So he talks a little bit about commitment devices, which are ways to try and bribe yourself into doing what you ought to do. For example, he uses the example from his life of having to write while he's in grad school. And he's on a deadline, so he says, well, if I don't write, I have to give $5 to charity. You know, I have to donate, you know. And then he decides, well, giving to charity, you know, then that's too easy to weasel out of then, because I convinced myself that it's a good thing I'm not writing because then I'm giving to charity. So he decides that he'll put $5 in an envelope every day he doesn't write and just leave it randomly on the subway and somebody will find it. So it becomes basically a waste of money for him and it motivates him to write every day. So there's these commitment devices.
Okay.
There's two problems with that. Is that one, he points out that those don't teach us self-control. They teach us how to trick ourselves, but they don't actually teach self-control.
Why?
Because you're not actually controlling yourself. You're just kind of forcing yourself to do the right thing, which is different from choosing to do the right thing freely.
Okay.
You're trying to eliminate your free will as much as possible. Okay. And then the second way, second reason he said they're too easy to weasel out of. So what he's trying to do is, what his work is trying to come up with ways to level the playing field between the present self and the future self, without eliminating free will and teaching people to exercise self-control. So in the second clip that I'm going to play, he's talking about this computer program he's designed to kind of help people visualize what their future self is going to be like.
Oh, that's cool.
And this is in the context of economics, specifically saving money for the future, which is, aside from weight loss, maybe the most common example that we all have of the battle between present and future self. Present self wants to spend. Future self says, what the heck, man? I don't have any money. So this is what Daniel Goldstein has to say.
Okay. So what we do is we take pictures of people, in this case college-age people, and we use software to age them and show these people what they'll look like when they're 60, 70, 80 years old. And we try to test whether actually assisting your imagination by looking at the face of your future self can change your investment behavior. So this is one of our experiments. Here we see the face of the young subject on the left. He's given a control that allows him to adjust his savings rate. As he moves his savings rate down, it means that he's saving zero when it's all the way here at the left. You can see his current annual income, this is the percentage of his paycheck that he can take home today, is quite high, 91%, but his retirement income is quite low. He's going to retire on 44% of what he earned while he was working. If he saves the maximum legal amount, his retirement income goes up, but he's unhappy because now he has less money on the left-hand side to spend today. Other conditions show people the future self, and from the future self's point of view, everything is in reverse. If you save very little, the future self is unhappy, living on 44% of the income, whereas if the present self saves a lot, the future self is delighted, where the income is up close near 100%. To bring this to a wider audience, I've been working with Hal and Allianz to create something we call the behavioral time machine, in which you not only get to see yourself in the future, but you get to see anticipated emotional reactions to different levels of retirement wealth. So for instance, here is somebody using the tool, and just watch the facial expressions as they move the slider. The younger face gets happier and happier, saving nothing. The older face is miserable, and slowly, slowly, we're bringing it up to a moderate savings rate, and then it's a high savings rate. The younger face is getting unhappy. The older face is quite pleased with the decision. Okay. We're going to see if this has an effect on what people do, and what's nice about it is it's not something that's biasing people, actually, because as one face smiles, the other face frowns. It's not telling you which way to put the slider. It's just reminding you that you are connected to and legally tied to this future self. It's your decisions today are going to determine its well-being, and that's something that's easy to forget.
I feel like is this available online?
I think so, yeah.
It seems a little bit hard to understand without seeing the actual video.
Yeah.
And so I'm online here just trying to like look around a little bit, but yeah, it sounds pretty interesting. I feel like I need to watch this TED Talk immediately.
Yeah, it's fascinating because we are tied to our future selves, but yet we're in competition with our future self, which I find absolutely fascinating. The way he points out that, you know, if you save nothing right now, you make yourself in the present happy, but your future retirement self sad, and vice versa.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what's going on in Looper, where they are the same person, but they're not. They're in competition with each other. They want different things.
Yeah. It's interesting. I did think that before I saw the movie, I thought what the movie was going to be about was these two versions of one man helping each other, working together to stop the bad guys. And it's not what that was about at all.
Right.
They had completely conflicting goals.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fast. And even where, you know, in the way it's designed to happen in the movie, the present self has to kill the future self.
Mm-hmm.
I think you could read the entire movie as a fascinating metaphor for exactly what Daniel Goldstein's talking about in this TED Talk.
Do you think, so the sacrifice is, you know, obviously the ultimate sacrifice, kill themselves. for this girl and for her son.
Yeah.
I mean, is this... So is Joe ultimately good or is Joe ultimately bad on the at the core? Because we know what he's going to end up like, but we also know what that he doesn't get to that point.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think he makes a choice, but... And I think it's really interesting that the movie doesn't tell you ultimately if what he did worked. Because if it worked, then it's really easy to say, well, of course Joe did the right thing. Yeah. The kid grew up fine and blah, blah, blah. And vice versa. Oh, that was a complete waste. The kid turned out evil anyway.
I think he turns out evil anyway.
I don't think so. So probably some of it comes from how you answer that question. But I think that whether... That's a different question than was Joe a moral man. I think that was Joe a smart man? You know, was he wise to do what he did? And that's debatable, but I think what he did was a significant moral change. And I think the movie is about his moral progression from a selfish man to a self-sacrificing man.
Yeah, that could be. I could see that. So he...
Though in a sense, both Joes go through that same progression from being selfish to self-sacrificing.
Because then old Joe is sacrificing for his wife, his dead wife.
Yep.
And young Joe is sacrificing for this family that he could have.
So what's interesting is that, you know, they're in conflict with each other, but yet they've both gone through the same moral journey. They've both become good men, both willing to sacrifice and defend the people they love, but yet those are in conflict with each other.
Yeah, that is interesting. And, you know, and I think another big part about it, we didn't touch on this really that much, but Joe... himself has some weird family issues where he was kind of abandoned and that got him on this bad track. And he had this weird way of seeing what could be.
Yeah.
Which they almost made it seem like we're watching the movie, but we're really just seeing what's in his head.
Yeah.
When we see like Rainmaker leaving on the train and that kind of thing. So it was a form of self-sacrifice, but also it was a kind of a redemption of himself. Like, his past child self had this crappy childhood.
Right.
And now he's redeeming that by saving this other child's childhood.
Yes. So many layers. This is why it's such a brilliant movie. It's because there's so many layers to the characters and to the themes that they're trying to put out there and what it's trying to make you think about. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's my type of movie.
Of course. Yes. What else? Tell me some more things you liked about it.
Ooh. That was mostly what I had prepared, but I...
Okay, so Jeff Daniels, we didn't really talk about this. What's so good about Jeff Daniels in this movie?
Oh, he was such a good character. I like the evil mob boss type character who isn't loud and brash, but is, again, understated.
Yeah.
You know, I love the scene where he's talking to Joseph Gordon-Levitt and he convinces him to give up his friend.
Oh, yeah.
That was so good.
Yeah, because he didn't have to... He's like, just so you know, I'm not going to use a hammer on your hands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just love the fact that the mob sends back a guy from 30 years in the future to oversee their present operations. I thought that was a really cool twist.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, go to China. I'm from the future.
Yeah. Oh, I did love that scene.
That was awesome.
You don't want to go to France.
Yes. Yeah.
I did like that. That was a really good. I like that line. Yeah, I guess he was better than that. I mean, I would have not put him on my top five, but I guess he was. Maybe I should give him a little more credit.
Yeah.
He's pretty good.
It's Jeff Daniels, man.
He's pretty good. What's your favorite thing he's ever been in besides Dumb and Dumber?
Well, yeah, besides Dumb and Dumber. Yeah. I don't know. He's pretty good in Gettysburg, if you've ever seen that.
I've never seen that. What else?
Good movie. A movie that you started and didn't finish, also with Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Impossible.
The Lookout. I think I like Jeff Daniels wearing a beard. Not that I'm spending a lot of time admiring his body.
Just let that one hang there. Okay, so now that moment has passed. Yeah, he's not so bad with a beard.
Yeah.
I'm going to look up his IMDb. I feel like...
He's been in a lot of movies.
Yeah, there's got to be something I've really liked him in.
Dumb and Dumber, of course.
Well, that goes without saying.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing.
I mean, just the quick scan.
What's odd is that, you know, he can be a really serious actor, but for all of us who have seen Dumb and Dumber, the toilet scene is just forever entrenched in your mind.
Oh, I liked him in Pleasantville.
I never saw Pleasantville.
I like Pleasantville.
Yeah.
Pretty pleasant.
Isn't that the one with Tobey Maguire in it?
Yeah, and they...
Spider-Man.
Yep. Do you know the premise?
It's a black and white world, and it gets color.
That's not the premise.
That's what I know about the premise.
Do I read you the premise?
Sure.
Pleasantville, which I think the sci-fi Christian audience would like, movie from 1998, two 1990s teenagers find themselves in a 1950s sitcom where their influence begins to profoundly change that complacent world.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess it was black and white and then becomes color thanks to them.
I told you. I haven't even seen the movie.
But that's just part of it.
That's just part of the movie. Oh, I had a bit of a... Are we all done with Looper? Because I had a bit of a spoiler story to tell you. Any closing thoughts on Looper? Do you recommend it to the sci-fi Christian audience?
Yes, totally recommend
it.
I definitely... Yeah, I wish I had some good closing thoughts. I think if you...
Well, if you did show prep like me.
Some good No. You didn't have a closing thought. Well, okay, so my closing thought is recommend. Ben?
Absolutely recommend. See this movie. Watch it again and again and again, because I think it's one of those where it's going to get better the more you watch it.
Very good. Love it. I'm going to transition then to our after-show talk. Here it is. It's a trap. Oh, I was going to do it.
Trap-a-thon.
I was going to do it.
I stole it because I wanted to do it. So I have a little bit of a story to tell you. Spoiler story for you.
About what?
About a good spoiler. When spoilers save the day. That is the title of this story.
Well, then, should this be its own episode?
No.
Because, you know, we're trying to get to 100 episodes in 2013.
Yeah, and I think we got to make our breed a little bit rarer, you know? Make them really want it. Make them hungry for the next one.
Okay.
So we're going to cram more into this episode.
If this episode, if we end up talking for more than 10 minutes, it's a new episode. I'm just saying.
So when spoilers save the day, that's the title of my story. So Matthew Anderson.
Wait, can you say that one more time? Say when spoilers save the day.
Are you going to play the intro music?
Go ahead.
And I'm Ben DiBono.
Just say it real quick.
No,
not really.
Oh.
Okay, so Matt Anderson. That's
so
me.
Matt Anderson.
Yes.
Did you know that I am currently reading The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe to my four-year-old daughter?
Oh, did I know this? I don't know if I knew this. Yes, I think you mentioned it recently.
I put a picture up on Facebook.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So she's four and decided she's old enough to try out a chapter book with me reading it to her. I wasn't quite sure, you know, if she'd be into it yet or not. But yeah, she absolutely loves it. So we've been reading a chapter a day.
I like it.
She loves the story. You know, some of it goes over her head, obviously, because she's four. But for the most part, she's tracking with it. She understands what happens. We always talk about what happened after the chapter's over. And just to make sure she's catching.
You summarize and make sure she knows what's going on.
And yeah, you know, we talk about what happened in the last chapter before we start reading to make sure she's tracking with everything and all that. So we're getting to the end of the story when, of course, we get a rather tragic chapter where Aslan
the stone table.
Dies. Yes. So last night was the Aslan dies chapter.
Oh.
Yeah. And we finished the chapter and put the book down, and she is on the verge of tears.
Oh, no.
Which is kind of a good thing when you think about it, because it means, like, the story's getting to her.
Yeah.
And it, you know.
Yeah.
And, like, I haven't been telling her, oh, this is an allegory for Jesus or anything.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool to watch her, you know, experience really the passion narrative in this way and actually have it affect her so deeply.
Yeah.
So she wasn't crying, but she was, like, on the verge of tears. Mm-hmm. It was, like, one word is going to push her over the edge. So...
You're going to be like, this is just like when your sins killed Jesus.
Put yourself in Edmund's shoes. Yeah, that might have been the wrong parenting approach.
Okay. I don't have kids.
So I spoiled it for her.
Oh.
I spoiled for her. Aslan's going to come back to life.
Oh.
And then she was able to go to bed. Okay.
Oh.
So she was so happy to find out Aslan was going to come back to life. But, you know, if I hadn't spoiled it for her, she would have been in tears and, like, completely devastated. And she might have hated books. I mean, she was, like, so upset that this could have scarred her for life. So that is when spoilers save the day.
Oh, what? No, we don't need exit music. I'm going to go to the outro now.
So just a little something to remind you that spoilers can be okay in there. Proper context.
Good. Well, thanks, Ben. Thanks for that little
reminder. Having story hour at the end of sci-fi. It's kind of like...
Should we start doing it every time? I wasn't going to shake your hand. I was just like using my hand.
I thought you wanted a handshake.
Well, we actually just shook hands here on the air.
Aren't you supposed to say something here?
Well, that's all from here. I'm Matt Anderson.
And I'm Ben DiBono.
And we are the Sci-Fi Christians.
Signing off.
Signing off.
You think you're safe. You are not.
You are not.
Such a cool line.
That is pretty good. Yeah. I wish I knew it in context.
Well, we will come May.
5 months. We should go for my birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.